It's Siren Radio, and it's time for another edition of Cultural Connections. Yes, a new year has actually come around. We're in 2023 and we're looking today at the joys of Ghana and Bangladesh. How are we going to do this? Well, featuring two fabulous ourselves, both PhD success stories from the University of Lincoln. But we have first up Shah Ridwan Chowdhury. How are you, Shah? Delighted to touch base with your good self today. And we've also got the wondrous Crispin Daniels. How are you, Crispin?
Hello.
Very well. How are you?
Excellent. Good to have you. Turn the microphones on for a moment. That was something strange time. It's all right. It's early in February, so who knows where we're going. Shah, you're from Bangladesh.
Yes.
Share with us how you decided to come to the University of Lincoln.
I decided to come to the University of Lincoln because I have come here with Bangladesh government scholarship. Whenever I was awarded a scholarship, I was searching for a university which has a good infrastructure in terms of education, in terms of environment. So I found from all aspects and from the knowledge base also, I decided to come in the University of Lincoln.
Excellent, and great to actually connect with yourself. Yeah. And you've got a an interesting topic for your PhD. That indeed is a green HR management. That's the line.
Yeah, yep. Green human resource management. Yes.
So, just explain a little bit about green human resource management.
Human resource management actually means managing people effectively and efficiently to get maximum output from him or her. Actually, whenever we accommodate green concern in each and every aspects of the human resource management, then it becomes green human resource management. Basically, to minimize environmental harms, we are trying for accommodating something new, which are very environment friendly and which will address environmental issues to keep it safe and sound.
So the notion of sustainability is clearly to the fore of that particular side of things. And are we succeeding as a species? Is it a case of we've got an awfully long way to go, or is it a case of, well, read my PhD and it'll tell you?
Yeah, actually, I have decided to come in this area because, as you know, my area is Bangladesh. My context is Bangladesh RMC industry. This is the backbone of Bangladesh economy. So, but the working environment is not that much good. There was some big catastrophe like Rana Tajrin Fashion Collapse and Rana Plaza. Still, the industry is contributing a lot to the economy. So I have a dream to do something for the industry so that its backbone become more stronger based on environmental development, because international buyer are raising questions, ethical questions regarding environmental issues. So I have the passion to work in that area to address this issue, actually.
We'll be talking as the program proceeds about eco-catastrophe, but if we can pass the other microphone back now to our Ghana delegate in so many ways, Crispin Daniels. Crispin, as I said, you're technically senior in this particular program to Shah, because you got your PhD, you've been with us at the University of Lincoln for 4 years now. Again, would you like to share with us how you move from Ghana right the way through to, obviously, Lincoln?
Well, just for a little clarity, I've actually, yes, been here 4 years, but I'm actually yet to complete with my PhD.
Ah, that's okay. You see, I was awarding it already. I figured you were on the program. You must have the PhD straight away.
Absolutely. I'll be done this year. In September, I'll be done. I'll also join Shah as well. So what brought me to the University of Lincoln? In fact, to the United Kingdom. I'm looking at having some different, a good spice of international global standard of education. And you cannot subside United Kingdom if you're talking about education. So I chose my destination being United Kingdom, and Lincoln was one of my best way to just pick it up and then start my master's. I picked international business, and I thought that international business was the way to go. I wanted to do, my first degree was in economics, and I found out that how do you understand the various economies across the world? So I said that, well, looking at it, the good blend of international business and looking at the modules that was under at the University of Lincoln, I chose that, and I thought that was my journey, beginning of that from the University of Lincoln, and I chose the international business. That's what brought me here.
I'm particularly pleased that you say that you we still look at British education, yeah. UK education as being impressive, because sometimes I think we feel actually we're a disaster. We just don't know what we're doing on this particular basis. Has that been confirmed, i.e. the fact that it's actually of a good standard as opposed to the latter of those things?
To be fair, I think that it's been confirmed that still I still hold that United Kingdom has the good standard of education. Why do I say so? Because you're looking at not only you being prepped for the international world, you're passing through the tough times, you're going through within a short period. You're supposed to do lots of modules. You're supposed to do practice theories and everything within a short time. What does it do? If you're an individual, you're passing through this time or this short time to do studies. You are prepping yourself to do or have tax done within the shortest possible time, prepping yourself for the international world. Because if your boss gives you any job, it gives you a target. And I think that that target within the short time within the United Kingdom is still the best.
Well, talking about the best, you've been responsible for the first choice of music. In fact, actually, it's your only choice of music, because actually the rest of the music on the programme will be selected by Shah. But that's OK. We can cope with this because you've gone for Joe Metal. Would you like to introduce it? And why have you gone for My Everything?
So I feel that in everything, I'm quite spiritual with everything. I feel that, well, everybody has a supreme being that he believes in. And I feel that everything that I've been so far, whatever I am now, whatever I've been doing, our Lord Jesus Christ is my everything, and I believe that he has taken me this far, everything I believe in. I pray, and I lift up my eyes unto him. He is my only helper, hence my everything.
Yeah, Jesus, you're my everything, yeah. My everything is you, Lord, yeah, Everybody's here.
Lord, you are
my
everything.
I call you.
Everything, the first choice, musical choice, that is, of Crispin Daniels. Thank you, Crispin. Excellent. Good standard there. And it's worked its magic. You clearly, that whole notion of music bringing magic has worked its way through to introduce a fellow Ghanaian who's joined us for the program now. That's Jacob Diame. How are you, Jacob?
Yeah, I'm good. Thank you so much.
Jacob, so far we've identified obviously from Ghana. So as I said, if you're looking for football scores, it's Ghana 2, Bangladesh 1. So from your own point of view, though, your speciality or your topic has been the joys of corporate governance and sustainability.
Yes.
Could you just share with us your journey in terms of what brought you from Ghana to Lincoln, and please don't say the plane, obviously.
Yeah, thank you very much. My name is Jacob Diame, and I came from Ghana in 2019. So I came to do my master's in international business. Then I was the postgraduate president. And over time, I was engaged in the university in terms of being the member of the academic board and also being student representative on various levels. Then after school, I got distinction and I decided to continue to do my master's in accounting and finance. And also I competed with another distinction. I was a racial and diversity officer of the university, and I got an employment as associate lecturer to do, and I'm also starting my PhD, which is in corporate governance on sustainable business development. So that is just a brief about me, and I believe, you know, as time goes on, you get to know more about me.
Absolutely. I mean, clearly cultural connections, the program was being made for you in terms of the range of aspects that Ola will have to take a back seat. He obviously learned it all from himself. It's okay. We know that's part of the whole thing. That notion of sustainability, we were talking earlier with Shah about his particular interest in terms of green human resource management. It is something which is clearly not just on the agenda, but it's something we are paying more than lip service to. I'll ask the same question to you that we put to Shah. Are you intrinsically optimistic about the future, or do you sometimes shake your head and think, we've got a long way to go?
Yeah, I think currently the systems that are in place, especially when you look at the governance in terms of, you know, countries, cultures, people are now getting the understanding that we need to take so much importance to sustainable business development. So even though we have a long way to go, but systems and policies are being shaped constantly, which we believe, you know, we'll get there very soon.
We'll talk later on in the program about people's thoughts on Lincoln. You've been with us 3 years and so on. Crispin shared his views in terms of how he felt that UK education was important from that point of view. From your own perspective, back in Ghana, was it a case of, yep, this is the university for yourself, or was it a case of, no, I would have much preferred to have gone to Harvard, but what the heck?
Yeah, I think basically when I was selecting the university and a particular location to come, location, diversity, and culture of the area where you want to study is very, very important, because in as much as you are doing the educational background, you also be learning from the social background, how people interact with each other, and the society around you will nurture you into becoming another person that you intend to do. So basically coming here, I chose this particular university because it gives him that perspective from the understanding from where, you know, the Lincolnshire area is, the position of the location, and also you look at the people, their culture, their food. It's quite an interesting place to develop and to adjust my life towards that direction. Yeah.
We always have a topical topic as far as cultural connections is concerned, and I thought I'd be really optimistic and talk about eco-catastrophe this time around. Little thinking, of course, when we were planning this, we'd have a tragedy, obviously a natural tragedy with the earthquake in Syria and Turkey. But we'll turn to Crispin, I think, from your own line on this. When you look at the state of the world, one of the things that has changed and is a phenomenon of the 21st century is instant news. You know, we kind of can know exactly. Ghana, you're now behind, 2 hours behind time zones.
Yeah,
no, exactly. Mm-hmm. So Bangladesh, I think an hour ahead or 2 hours ahead or two. Yeah, ahead. Yeah. But we still know if something happens, we can find out about it immediately. Yeah. Does that lead you, I mean, you shared with us your intrinsic faith, which I think is really vital. Yeah. But when we speak about how these things are developed and being manifested, do you, again, sometimes get depressed with the state of the world? Or do you think, you know, again, you know, because this is not man-made, we hope. This is certainly something which is, you know, something which does happen every so often. We had, as I was saying to students this morning, actually, we had a mild earth tremor in Lincoln around about 5 or 6 years ago, 1,000 years ago. Mm-hmm. There was an earthquake which destroyed the cathedral. So, you know, hopefully nothing's going to happen in the midst of this program. But in terms of that, any sort of thoughts and views on the climate, the way that the planet works, and how human beings can actually come together to actually help? Because, I mean, at least there's been an outpouring, and we know the numbers, the number of victims of the earthquake, etc. It's huge, you know, 8,000, 9,000, yeah. Again, beyond that. How does that, from your own perspective, as a postgraduate student, as somebody who's there, how do you connect with that? Do you think it's... What are your own philosophy, in a sense?
Well, my first, which philosophy I want to put across is that we, as humans, we need to respect nature. I think that we've come to a point where people have just made, or humans are not just respecting nature. So this is where houses need to be. This is where water needs to be. People are now just violating those ones, building in waterways, cutting trees the way they're not supposed to. Things that are naturally supposed to be coexisting. Now humans have now think from their normal thinking and their normal studies, think that they can take nature. I think that's one of the philosophies that we as humans need to respect now, because now the climate is changing. And we need to respect the reasons why we are having high levels of water at every time that flooding is taken over as part of the natural disasters. Part of the United States, when we hear whatsoever names that they give to, it's just because we are not respecting nature. So if there's a plant there, we don't need to cut. We need to respect it. If there's a waterway that we don't need to block or build there, we just have to respect that. And I feel that when all of these things stop, nature will also respect us. Now, these things come unannounced because we also cut them unannounced.
Mm. So in many ways, you see us as needing to be stewards, caretakers of the planet.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it goes vice versa. Once that is done, I'm sure that will also at least smile onto us a little bit. It goes hand in hand. And nature, by law, is a natural law.
I'm reminded of James Lovelock's Gaia in terms of this, which is important. Jacob, do you echo those points? Do you think that that's a similar thing, or do you say, no, it's all about making as much money as possible?
Yeah, I think, first of all, my condolence to the families and also their loved ones. And I think we have one Ghanaian footballer who is still missing right now, Christian Achu. Yeah. So we pray that they can be able to locate all of them and bring them back to life. I think nature itself is something that, looking at my research on sustainable business, you see, previously humanity was always looking for profit in terms of businesses. They're always looking for profit. But now the question is, what are we giving back to nature? What are we giving back to the world to be able to sustain everything that we've removed? So in terms of afforestation, trying to plant trees where it is, and also I think humanity itself, sometimes based on science, they will tell you, do not construct your building at this location, or do not out of the sciences, but we still don't pay much attention to this kind of warnings, and we go there, we construct our buildings, we do everything there, and when this kind of occurrences happens, is going to affect us, and also there is so much loss of lives. So I believe if humanity pay much attention to the findings of science to tell us that this is the situation that we are having, especially when you look at the North Pole, we constantly hear that the ices are melting, and it's going to affect. So we need to look at things that will put us back on track, and also be, like Crispin said, be the caretakers of the earth, and invest more into our humanity and our stay on this earth.
Yeah. Green human resource management, can that help in that particular aspect,
Sean? I want to agree with Jacob and Crispin. That is, we need to change our habit, people's habit, because we are thinking from micro level. We need to learn how to focus macro level interest. then we will be in a win-win situation for everybody. For that, I want to suggest if we can move towards a triple bottom line concept. That is people, planet, people, and profit. Because organization need to maximize their profit, and a part of the profit is going to the societal development. So it is essential. Side by side, it can be focused environmental concern and social concern. Then I think it will create win-win situation for multiple stakeholders of the society. This is one thing. Another thing is people need to change their habit. That is, sometimes we want to maximize our own benefit. For that, I think there is a impact of capitalism, because capitalism encourages people to maximize their benefit at any cost. So if we can move towards a somewhat mixed economy, mixed economic concept, then it would be better to change people about their interest.
I've actually made a note of the phrase triple bottom line, because I think it's extraordinary. So the bottom line, but triple bottom line, planet, people, and profit, as you said. We're not going to get into a discussion of neoliberalism and its profits and other aspects, but that's for another time, for another programme. But we turn now, actually, we're staying actually with yourself, Shah, if we may, because you're kind enough to actually send over not one, but three musical aspects from your culture. First, a national anthem. Second, a country song. And third, a modern romantic song. Which one would you place Bamba as being? Is that the national anthem of Bangladesh?
This is the organization of all band singer. So they arrange a combined session where they all sing together.
And, so we have Bamba here. Would you like to introduce them? Over to you.
Actually, Bamba, it is an association of all the band singer of Bangladesh. So this is a platform to develop culture in the nation and cross-cultural integration.
And we actually are presenting Legends of Rock here. So is it one for the air guitars? Let's hear it. Thank you. Cultural communications, rather, cultural connections. Let's get the name right. I don't know. It's just the excitement of having two Ghana folk and one Bangladesh folk here. And I've also just had revealed that two of them are Manchester United supporters. I know it's a terrible time, but still, we have to continue and be brave. Legends of Rock, the first choice of Jake of Shah, indeed, for your programme at that point. And you've got two others to look forward to, which is great. Okay, let's talk we've talked about eco-catastrophe. Let's be more positive about the side of things. Let's look at strange activities that you may have encountered for the first time, or events or such like. We will turn to Jacob, if we may, to start off with respect to this one. Jacob, you've been here for three years, etc. Were there any moments where you came to Lincoln and you thought, why are they referring to me as Duck? Or why are they, what a strange thing is that? Or what strange and bizarre things or wacky moments in Lincoln have you actually encountered you'd like to share with us?
Yeah, thank you very much for the question. I think I came here September 2019, and when I came, you hardly see people walking on the high streets. I could sometimes walk on the high streets and literally see just one person or two people, maybe like the whole time that I'm walking. And I remember one incident when I closed from lecture, so I was in the library, left here around 10 p.m. Then around the Brayford Court, I met these young guys who were coming. So one of the guy purposely moved towards my direction and just bumped into me. And he asked me, like, what can you do? What will you do? So at that point, I was just thinking about my education. I said, no, see, I only came here to study. Mm-hmm. I'm not here to fight, or I'm not here
absolutely
to do anything.
Yeah.
So I just told him, you know, like, it's fine. And I remember some of the guys at some of the restaurants saw the incident, and they were coming. They were like, oh, just ignore. So I just left, moved away. So I remember when I was the racial and diversity officer, I had to meet with the Lincolnshire Police. So we're looking at ways to improve the security for international students around campus. And I had to bring this kind of incident up. So I asked them, is there any issues or mechanism for reporting such situations? And I think the gentleman picked it up. So they said they are going to work on improving the CCTV camera installation around the city. So I think, you know, based on the little thing that we've experienced, I've not experienced major incidents.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think this is just the
Clearly, again, quite a dramatic aspect there. I was thinking of perhaps some of the more quirky material, let's say, there. Even as, say, new foodstuffs that you might have actually tried for the first time and thought, how bizarre, the Lincolnshire sausage often springs to mind, for instance. But I think actually you raise a very valid point there, Jacob, and clearly that needs to be addressed as well. What about yourself, Shah? I mean, either peculiarities or oddities in terms of the foods that you you've encountered, or the whole sort of sequence? I mean, Lincolnshire yellow. I mean, just the very name being, if you're from Lincoln, you're referred to as a yellow belly. That confused me tremendously.
Yeah.
At that point. Yeah. Any experiences?
Yeah. Actually, my experience is good. I have two kids, so there is duck pond. I like this very much, and almost every day I need to bring my kids to show this duck, actually. And I see a very uncommon culture compared to Bangladesh. That is, I see people are very lovely to the nature, and they are bringing food and feeding the ducks and all other kids. And so it attracts me. That is, I found the differences between people in Bangladesh and people in here. There is a cultural orientation, differences in cultural orientation. So I found people here are more kind towards environment than people in Bangladesh, sorry to say. So I need to adopt these things, I feel. Yeah.
I mean, it is interesting, because I'm sure that people will be saying, not all people, some of us are dreadful.
Yeah, not really.
And it's always difficult to do that, but it's good that the first impressions have been sort of positive. Okay, let's turn to Crispin. From your own point of view, again, a fellow Ghanaian soul, etc., when you came here, did you think, well, why isn't everybody supporting Manchester United?
Well, I wish.
What is this Lincoln City?
That's the first one I was going to talk about. Wow. That's the charming one that I saw. In fact, when I came, that was when they had won their cup. And usually when we win, any team win cups in our, they don't do the street celebration. Mm. The kind of passion that the city itself, the whole of the city of Lincoln, give to the team. Mm. It's not like our community back home. So ours is only snipers of people who support the team. But here, how they support it, I felt it was that charming one. So I underlined that as a charming thing I saw. Mm. I went to the streets, and the whole of the streets, police everywhere, and the celebration was boom. That's one of the charming things that got me here in Lincoln. And forever, I'll be a Lincolnite. The very unusual things that I saw, starting from school. I mean, how we write exams here. I mean, back home, we just have to go through there, and then we have exams. Seats are, you know, department partitioned, and then you sit down, write the exams, just like that. But here, I realize that now the essays are given. You give the question right from the first week, and then you have to go through about first to 7 weeks, and then you have to have a master plan to draw an essay to express what you have learned. Now, that alone is something unusual. So, okay, so that's how they do it. Then you turn it in. We don't have turn it in back home. So you are just writing. Now, these are the things that brings precision, thoughts, new ideas, genuity to the work. And these are the unusual things that I saw. Quite apart from that, I think that the automated ways that we do things here, you're going to swipe with your card, with ID before you're given access, those things. These are unusual things that I saw, which had maybe fallen in love more with Lincoln and the United Kingdom.
Interesting, because I think biometrics is the next stage in terms of identification, and that could be a whole new world where you can swipe with your card, swipe with your
everything.
Finger or your eye, and so on. It's a strange time. But the education is particularly interesting, because you're absolutely right in terms of, in most cases, modules will actually give the essay titles at the start. Sometimes say to students quite teasingly, if they want to do it now, they can and submit it. They might well fail, but
that's
they can do it if they want
that's
to.
Boring, yeah.
Well ahead of the curve. But it is that process, notion of actually the iteration, the not just the repetition, but also the way forward.
Yeah.
That hopefully
the gradual learning.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
I mean, we talk a great deal about blended learning and ways in which that can also be developed. So, and obviously, the University of Lincoln is very clear insofar as the late Mike Neary certainly passed. Very much behind the student as co-producer, the student as producer ethos, which again we've echoed through the process.
That's it.
We're back to your choice of music, Shah, I see.
This
is Roni Sada, I believe, which is what we're about to hear. Again, would you like to give us some background into Roni or Roni Sada?
This is actually a country song that is. This represents village of Bangladeshi culture, and this creates some soft corner in the heart for our culture, for the country. So that's why I have selected this song.
Yeah.
Fun fact, which has just been revealed by Shah, that was originally written by
Rabindranath Tagore.
Funny enough, actually, Krishnamurti is a philosopher I've been a keen fan of because of Education by Dialogue over the years. I always thought that's been important. Yeah, but let's move on to, again, the remaining segment of what has been a very speedy and fast cultural communications. But that's what happens when you have two Ghanaian folk and one Bangladeshi soul in the system. I want to spend a little bit of time talking about sport. Listen to music. We talk about sport as well. That is a unifying force, etc. Ghana have had an interesting record when it comes to sporty activities and so on. The Manchester United thing comes across.
Very difficult
to even say the words. We see that. Is there a huge Manchester United following in Ghana? Was that something you were aware of beforehand, or what was the connection?
I mean, if you're talking about the English Premiership, the largest supporters we have in Ghana, it's Manchester United, then we come to Liverpool, then the rest follows.
The rest.
So yes, we have a heavy supporters for heavy one there.
I won't reveal my I might well cite Ola Oganyemi, who actually said that when asked did he support a particular team, he said yes, the team that wins.
That's it.
No, we're from Nigeria. Again, similar question for yourself, Jacob. Were you a Manchester United supporter in Ghana? Was it something you'd brainwashed into, I'd say, really? From that point of view. Or did you just think, no, whatever?
I think before I used to be a Chelsea supporter.
Oh, that's better. That's all right. So why did you switch? What was the point?
I think that I joined Chelsea because of Michael Essien.
Right.
Because Ghana had one of their midfielders who was strong in Chelsea. So we had quite a number of Ghanaians supporting Chelsea because of that. Yeah. And I decided to switch because when I looked at the track records of Manchester United in terms of the good football they play, the quality of their skills. So I decided to switch, and I think so far I think it's been positive switch, and I've really enjoyed Manchester United.
Mind you, that is a drastic routine. Which, probably, I mean, to switch from Chelsea to Manchester United is standing, but never mind. And Bangladesh, obviously not necessarily known for its football, but
In cricket. Bangladesh cricket, exactly, is doing very good in cricket. Yeah. And it is developing. Once upon a time, Bangladesh could do very good in cricket, but now it is developing. We are good in football also, but still we can't play in international.
It'll happen one day. That's the key thing, it will actually happen. Yeah, yeah. And to actually help it along, we've actually got a Bengali patriotic song that we're going to wrap up with in terms of sequences. We might even get a little sequence of Joe Metal to wrap up because I thought it was so good. Would you like to introduce what we're about to hear from, I believe, Meghna and Kanak Chapa, the Bengali patriotic song?
Yeah, actually, this is a song which combined different river of Bangladesh. This is basically to present the village culture of Bangladesh, because rivers, Bangladeshi villages are surrounded by river, and people are very attached to the river, and that's why the reference is river, like Padma, Meghna, Jamuna. These are the rivers song. So this represents the riverine culture in Bangladesh, actually.
Oh,
absolutely perfect, and indeed the penultimate piece of music, because we're going back actually to have a reprise of Joe Metal to see us out. It's brought us, gentlemen, around to the final part of the programme. I know it was sad, but never mind. It's been fabulous, actually, connecting with Ghana and, of course, Bangladesh. Thanks to, of course, Shah and Jacob and Crispin. Any closing thoughts you'd like to share, Jacob, with respect to the listener, on behalf of why you should visit Ghana now?
Yeah, I think so. Basically, Ghanaians are very good people. We are very intelligent as well. And when you look at our cultural composition, we stand to be more receptive, and we understand people and we welcome people. So if you look at some of us, most of the Ghanaians that have come or in abroad, when you see them, you know, they always meet you, you meet them for the first time, and you always feel like they become you like your brothers. So, and it's a good place to visit in terms of our environment, our weather conditions, and as well as our food, because Ghanaians have a lot of music. We are fan of music and dancing, and we have Kente culture, Adua. So yeah, it's really lovely, and I thank you very much for the invitation, and I appreciate it. And we hope we'll welcome once again to discuss other topics.
Absolutely, there's so many things we can actually work through, and I'm sure we will. But that's the Ghanaian perspective. Let's turn to Bangladesh again. Any thoughts from yourself, Shah?
Yeah, actually, I invite everybody to visit Bangladesh, because Bangladesh is one of the role models for the developing countries, because it is developing very fast, and it is developing multiple indicators of the economy and environmental issues. GDP growth rate is very high, and per capita income is growing very good, and environmental development is good. So I think from this perspective, Bangladesh can be a good role model for countries who are trying for development, are progressing towards development. This is one thing. And Bangladeshi culture, we have six seasons. So I hope the people will get different flavor of season if they can visit Bangladesh. And we have a lots variety of food. So,
almost the triple bottom line. Yeah. Yeah. It's great. Yeah. Planet and profit, which is great. Yeah. Let's go down the line to corporate governance, sustainability, and so on. We started off, of course, with your good self, Crispin. We're wrapping up with your musical choice once again. Joe Mendel, My Everything. Anything you'd like to add to your
question? Well, finally, Jacob said everything about Ghana, so I'm not going to say anything. First off, I would like to thank the team for Cyrene Radio. I mean, this is a perfect show, and I want to congratulate the team for bringing up the show. I would say kudos to you, and I know they're going to be a much more magical one. I have enjoyed the show, and I know that coming back is no option. I'm not thinking about it twice. But again, today, if you're thinking about any team, don't think far. Manchester is closer to you. Thank you so much.
I mean, what can I say? To Crispin, to Jacob, and to Shah, huge thanks. And
thank you very much for
Yeah, and not to forget, a big thank you to Dr. Mahfouz Rahman, our professor. I always see him as a father figure, and he's always been so much helpful in terms of when I came to UK. So I want to use this opportunity to say thank you to him and his family, and may God bless them. And also to Siren Radio, God bless you. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much for arranging this session and inviting us, actually, for connecting different culture. And I have the scope to tell about something about Bangladesh. So I feel proud and privileged for that.
It's what cultural communications is made for. Yeah. That's it. We're out of here. Many thanks, gentlemen. Take care. And, of course, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yeah, Jesus, you're my everything, my everything is you, Lord, everybody say,
Come on.